Now, friends, we're going to have a little season of prayer here. We've got time for that today. And I would like you to make your heart hungry for God. There are all kinds of needs in the house, but there's no greater need than that you simply find the grace of God in ever-increasing ways and that you find the righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus. With a humble heart, you know, a hungry heart. Well, I want to show you a scripture that's always fascinated me. Put up that Acts 24 scripture for me. Everyone take a look at this. This is part of Paul's story. And you remember that late in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul gets to Jerusalem. You know, he pretty much just being a nice guy, he went to take offerings and basically to fit in and to look to all the Jews in the world like he was fitting in. Anyway, they set upon him and killed him, you know, and the Romans came and arrested him and started to beat him up, then discovered he was a Roman citizen, and in which case the whole tone of things changed. The Romans then protected him, and a series of events unfolded. As a result of this, Paul was 4 years in prison before Nero finally released him. But he was 2 years in prison on trial, first before that Roman commander and then before a fellow called Felix. He was a prisoner there a couple of years, and then before Festus. And before the guy Festus, he finally appealed and said, "I appeal to Caesar." Now, as part of that story, the commander, because the Jews are trying to kill him, the commander whisks him off to Felix's court in a far city, and this interesting thing happened. It turns out that Felix was a fellow who already knew a lot about the Christian way, the Christian message, but he was a political animal. So he wasn't a Christian. He sure knew a lot, and his wife was a Jew. But he was eager to please Rome, eager to please the Jews, eager to get a bribe out of Paul. I mean, he was a political animal, but at the same time, he knew a whole lot of stuff. And in the middle of this trial, well, there was a whole series of hearings. We get this little incident here. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Jesus Christ. Now, pause there. I want you to notice that the heading or the title of Paul's discourse is Faith in Jesus Christ. Everything that follows pertains to faith in Jesus Christ. What could it mean? Look at the next sentence. What did Paul talk about under this heading, faith in Jesus Christ? As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Now, Felix could walk away. You haven't walked away. You've expressed your faith in Jesus Christ. But faith in Jesus Christ has a lot to teach us about righteousness, about self-control, and about the judgment to come. The most crucial issue of the gospel of all is righteousness. The whole purpose of the gospel is that the power of God might so change your life you become a righteous person. This righteousness isn't something that you can create for yourself by trying to be a good person. It's a righteousness that is formed in you by you completely surrendering to the Lord Jesus and Him changing your heart so that you find yourself changed. And the things you used to love, worldly things, you know, wicked things, evil things, unclean things, you don't love them anymore. Instead, you hate them. You might still struggle to give some of them up, but you hate them. You're going to overcome them because your heart's changed. And not only that, some of the things that you used to hate, you used to avoid prayer, avoid church, avoid the truth, turn a deaf ear. Now you discover you love those things and you still might be weak, but your heart has turned away from the world. Your heart has turned to God. Something has gone on in here. It's known as being a new creature. You're a new creation. You've been born again. You've got a new heart. And now the law of God is being written on your heart. Beautiful stuff. What you're learning is righteousness, but the righteousness that's being given to you is the gift of God. It's the result of the cross and the blood. It's the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And the very moment, now listen carefully, because I'm trying to quit on this point. This work begins. Look, I want to clarify what it means to. Really, I'm clarifying what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus. Some people think that because they believe the facts, that is, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, they believe He died, they believe in all these things, because they believe, they think they're saved, and they're not saved at all. There's plenty of people sitting in church who believe the facts, they believe the story, but they're not saved at all. To believe in the gospel way, to believe in the Bible way, means you surrender. It's never just believing the facts. It's always about the yielding of your heart. It's always about obedience. The message of the Bible is the gospel is something you obey. So the gospel is not something you believe in. The gospel is something you believe and you show it by obeying it. That is, you surrender to it. You yield to it and it changes you. That's the person that has faith. And that's the person that has righteousness. So you could be sitting here today saying, I believe. You might have even been baptized, all the while saying, I believe. And you might not have this thing called righteousness. But it's the one who's surrendered their heart. It's the one for whom that baptism actually did mean they died to themselves and came alive to Christ. I'm not saying it happened in the baptism. It usually happens before. But that is what it means, because baptism is the symbol of death. And some people, maybe they go through the Christian rituals, but they never died. They're still alive. It means they've never been to the cross. The cross on which Jesus died hasn't killed them off yet. But the fact is, you've got to die. You've got to die with Christ. And something within you has to be killed off. And the gospel has the power then to resurrect you. Something in you is alive. And that's the person that has righteousness, the gift of God. And then, as you continue to walk in that, that righteousness grows. We thank God. Thank God for righteousness. So we're going to have a prayer time. And if you feel in any way unclean today, you need to seek righteousness from the Lord. But remember, the key part is you're surrendering to Him. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to obey the gospel. You know, give me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. And then there'll be some people with other needs. Some mums, dads might be crying out to God for your kids. There may be health issues. But in the end, some of you might be just hungry for God. You've known the Lord, you've walked with God, but you want to take a hold of God. Well, we're going to have a little prayer time and just get in the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit minister to us all. Steve, I'm going to let you pray for people, minister to people. If you've got anything else to say, feel free to say it. We're going to get our young people too to pray. Yeah, we'll get musicians flowing with us, and we've got a few minutes here. We're a little earlier than normal, and so we're going to spend this little time now just letting the Lord minister to hearts. Now, in the youth, there have been some wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit in recent times. Been good prayer times and ministry times. We're going to let the youth minister to us too. David, come for a moment, will you? And anyway, you musicians, come and take your places, and we're going to sing something. Just begin to worship God, and then devote the remaining minutes of the meeting to ministering to anybody that's hungry, laying on of hands today, hunger after God. We can't create of ourselves the power of God, the grace of God, but rather in the presence of God, we surrender to Him. We yield. David, get that microphone wherever it is, and there it is, and. And come up here. We just allow God to do with what He wants to do. And if you need a new heart, the blessing of a clean heart is here today. If you lack prayerfulness, you know, you get at home, but you know you should pray, and in church you're all inspired, and you think, oh, I'm going to go home to pray, then you get home and don't feel like it. Okay, you need to ask the Lord, give you the spirit of prayer. Ask the Lord, give you the spirit of faith. If you're not hungry for God, you know you should be hungry, but you're not hungry. It's very simple. Ask the Lord to make you hungry. Hungering has something to do with righteousness too. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What did Paul say? The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and self-control and joy in the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you look in the Bible, it's righteous. And the Bible says that the path of the righteous every day shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the full dawn of that day of redemption. David, take a minute. Tell us what's been happening amongst young people.
The Lord's been really moving. We've been praying a lot. There's been all the church prayer meetings, of course, but we've had our own prayer meeting, and it's been growing, and we're averaging, you know, about 25 or 28 people every Tuesday. And it's just like a fresh hunger for God. And so it's been something we've been praying now for a whole year, or more than a whole year, and it's now starting to get to the place where the Lord's hearing us. And I recognize there's nothing that we can do to make, to bring results, except for ask the Lord to do things for us. It's a little bit like Naaman wanted to be cured of leprosy, and all he had to do was, you know, dip in a river. I mean, that was kind of simple. And I said to the young people, all we have to do is pray. It's not that hard to do. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to pray a lot, and we're just inviting the Lord to come and do what he wants to do. And he seems to be doing that. Like, there seems to be a much greater faith. And at the start of the year, Josh had gone to Canada with my dad last year and seen what the Lord was doing in Bethel Church. And he came back and said, there's no reason why God can't do those things anywhere, because it's the same God. And so we've really made an active point to just say to the Lord, we expect you can move here too, anywhere in the world where we ask you to move. And so the Lord also said something to me, which was initially sounded a little bit like he was correcting me or putting me down, but he wasn't. He said that I was a bottleneck, and I initially took that with a little bit of caution, but I realized what he was saying was he just wants lots of bottles to be pouring out the Holy Spirit, not just one, and he wants to do lots of flowing. And so that's why I'm trying to get as many people as possible to do the praying for each other in youth. Instead of it me being praying for every person, I get them to pray for everybody, and it seems like it's just allowing the Lord to do whatever it is that he's trying to do. So I guess that's probably what we'll do today.
That's good, David. Yeah. Now, in a moment, we're going to begin to sing. And when we do begin to sing, the first thing I want you to do is bring your offering. If you came with an offering today, we're going to take a special offering. Now, the basket's out in the two extremities, the usual church ones. If you brought an envelope or your tithes or something, stick them in there. But we put this basket here in the middle, and this is so we can give an offering to Steve. Help him. He of necessity had to come to Australia. We're going to help him. We're going to help that work. And of course, you can take a further interest in that work as the Lord leads. But today it'd be good to put cash in his hands and be a blessing to him. That's what that basket there is in the middle for. So when we first begin to sing, first thing your first response is, let's be a blessing. Let's honor the Lord, and let's be a blessing to Steve. And then we're going to flow on from that and just pray for anybody who wants prayer. I was going to make a comment about Naaman. David mentioned Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian was the commander of the Syrian armies, but he had a slave girl who was a Jewish girl, and the Jewish girl told her, well, in Israel there's a prophet. So this guy's got terrible leprosy, and he goes to Israel with his chariot and all his men to visit the prophet. The prophet wouldn't even come out and see him. This is the way you get people healed, right? Ignore him, turn your back on him. But he just sent a message out, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And of course, he goes away a bit furious, thinking, man, we got better rivers than that back home in Syria. You know, better water, cleaner water. You know, this muddy old brook, you know, it's a dump. But somebody, one of his attendants, says, look, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. But he's asked you to do something simple. But you know, that fella, he dips in the Jordan. He comes up, still leprous. He dips the second time, third time, comes up the fourth time, comes up the fifth time, comes up the sixth time. He's as leprous as could be in this muddy old creek, you know. He dipped one more time, comes up, you know, healed, totally healed. The lesson is, you have to do what the Lord asks you to do, but the greater lesson today is you don't quit. You know, if in prayer you're seeking the Lord, and you pray once and you see nothing, no, pray again if you see nothing. You know, the same lesson is in the story of Elijah, who after the event on the, you know, the mountain and the fire from heaven and the prophets of Baal and all that, he gets in a cave because now he's going to break the drought. He'd prayed to start the drought 3.5 years before. Now he's going to break the thing. He's praying. He's down in this position of In case you didn't know, it's the same position their women used to get in for giving birth. And so he's grieving and groaning and giving birth of this thing before the Lord. But seven times he sends his servant out to see if there's any sign of rain. That servant comes back and says nothing. But he still groans, still continues. And finally the servant comes back and says, I can see a little tiny cloud. He says, run, because he knew it was about to start, and boom, you know. Again, the seven times. You know, seven in the Bible is the number for perfection. You know, all it means is you have got to continue to lay hold of God. You will break through. And so today, begin your search today for a greater grace, for righteousness, for peace. Find His blessing. Find the anointing. Find the Word of God. I hear lots of people say to me, you know, they need to hear God on this or that. You've got to seek the Lord.